All right, November 13, 2022. Yesterday, I did my entry. I talked about good form. I showed a demo of Doug Simmons exemplifying, coming very close to perfect form in what he's doing, and talked about the potential slippery slope of compromising on form based on, you know, perhaps the belief that perfect form is unnecessary and that relatively good form is good enough, and how that can easily deteriorate into getting worse and worse. Today I want to talk a little bit about volume, frequency, and intensity, and how the three, in my opinion, coordinate with each other or depend on each other or interact. I guess there's an interactive or an interdependent relationship between those three. So the one thing I want to start off and always preface it by saying, I kind of refer to this as my reserving the right to be full of whatever on this, because everything I say now is based on the information that I have had access to that I believe makes the most sense in my own personal experience. But I try not to hang my hat too tightly or whatnot, because then you get compelled to defend what you have when you are perhaps faced with evidence that's contradictory. And I am certainly guilty of confirmation bias, but I try to be careful of it as much as I can. So one of the things I talked about yesterday, I talked about what's the purpose of doing exercise, and I talked about fatiguing the muscles beyond a certain point, creating a certain amount of inroad in order to create a stimulus for adaptation. Now, not everybody is going to agree that fatigue or inroad is the key thing, but I think, to me, it makes sense to realize that if you ask yourself, why are you exercising? You are exercising in order to somehow, some way, whether it's inroad or some other mechanism, create a stimulus for positive adaptation. And yesterday I talked about for your muscles to positively adapt, but there's also all sorts of positive adaptations that can come from proper exercise. So either way, if you're exercising, you're trying to make a positive, you're trying to create a stimulus that will stimulate your body to make a desirable positive adaptation. So, and not, you know, if you think about it, I heard somebody say one time, you know, people are getting in shape so they can do better in the gym. In other words, they're getting in shape in order to go back in the gym and do better in the gym, as opposed to, you know, so they're always looking at what has been called the secondary objective, which is lifting more weight more times and focusing on that, as opposed to that being the means to the end. Or as Drew Bay likes to say, it's not what the what your muscles are doing to the weights, it's what the weights are doing to your muscles. But as far as what this stimulus is, so there's volume, the amount of exercise, there's frequency, how often you exercise, and then there's intensity of exercise. Now, intensity sometimes, in a lot of studies, gets defined as a percentage of one rep max. So most of the people who are listening to this will know my thoughts on that and the problem with using a percentage of one rep maximum being the most amount of weight you could lift one time. Other than, as I've stated before, the danger that is inherently involved in attempting to lift a weight that is so heavy that you can only lift it one time, but also the fact that if you're using 80% of what you could lift one time, but you're only doing it for a couple reps and coming nowhere near the point where you can't do another rep, it's actually far less intense than using 50% of your one rep max and then continuing to lift that until you are unable to lift one more repetition in good form despite your best effort in doing so. So just to differentiate, when I say intensity, it's not the type of intensity that is measured in a lot of studies. It's intensity means how hard are you trying on the last rep? Have you really pushed yourself to your limits on that last rep? So again, my earlier thinking, it would seem that there has become general agreement that between volume, frequency, and intensity, that if you had to pick one of those factors as being the most important, most people will say these days that there seems to be more and more general agreement than intensity, the amount of effort that you're putting in. There's still some debate as to whether or not you're going to have more volume is going to be helpful, but even the people who espouse that, which I don't agree with, are going to admit that that extra volume is really of very little value if there's not an amount of intensity and effort that is also involved. So that seems to be generally agreed on, that intensity. So today what prompted me to talk about this is I had a client who came in. He's had knee surgery and he was looking because he's had pain in his knees for a while. And he had his surgeon look at him. He says, everything seems to be fine, but he has been walking when he plays golf. And I assume he's doing that because of, in my opinion, the mistaken belief that walking when he plays golf is going to be better and maybe even strengthen the muscles around his knee that are going to help. But my advice to him, and I'm going to share this with him, would be take a cart. And you're probably walking quite a bit. And yes, some walking in order to, I think that some walking keeps and activity in general keeps your joints lubricated and a certain amount of flexibility. I don't advocate that people should only work out and then sit on the couch in between workouts and do absolutely nothing. But, you know, he said you're probably walking 5 kilometers, so about 3 miles if you're walking 18 holes. So even if you're not walking, even if you're using the cart, you're probably still walking a kilometer. You're pretty active. You're doing the golf and everything else. Because and this gentleman is in my age group. I'm 64, maybe a couple of years older than I am. And so all that walking is going to contribute very little to strengthening muscles, very little to any significant cardiovascular condition. But what it does because of the repetitive nature of it is it's hard on the joints. I have another client who might also wind up watching this who I really feel like going back to my belief that my caveat that I could be wrong. He actually thinks that he should carry his bag. So he's not just walking the holes. He's not pulling on a wheeled cart. He's carrying his bag over his shoulders. So by the way, I not only think that that is not good for you. The latter person has been talking about having back issues for a while. And I also think it's going to hurt your golf game, especially carrying the bag, but even walking around, because when you practice a golf swing and you practice that golf swing, let's say you're going and just hitting some balls and things like that, you're doing so with a body that it's relatively rested. You turn around and do that same golf swing when you're tired from either walking the holes or even worse, when you're tired and your back has been under load from carrying a bag around, and that's definitely going to affect your swing the more tired you are. So when you're trying to practice something of a high skill nature, such as a golf swing, then you should try to replicate it as exactly as possible. So when you're on the driving range and you're doing it when you're not tired from walking or carrying a bag around, and then you turn around and go on the course and you're tired from walking, or worse, once again, from carrying a bag around, that to me, that's inevitably going to throw off your game. So anyways, going back to the old gentleman, he said, well, we should strengthen your quads. So what basically he was asking about different exercises. And interestingly, last time we started to do leg extensions, we stopped because his knee hurt and he wanted to see the surgeon first. Well, it turns out, you know, his knee hurt because he had walked 5 miles. Well, I can't say that absolutely for sure it was from that, but it would seem that a definite suspicion or a suspect for the source of his sore knee before he came in and did the leg extensions, not after, was the walking that took place. So one of the things said, you know, is well, maybe I better get on my exercise bike at home. But the exercise bike, going back to volume, frequency, and intensity, so the exercise bike will do very little to strengthen quads. Now, some people are going to disagree with that because it is going to be, the intensity is going to be low, frequency, whatever, how many times you do it. It is a repetitive nature, certainly not as bad as walking. You're not weight bearing, but it's still going to be a repetitive nature. And also a lot of times people's pelvis is from that back and forth that's going place on a bicycle and things like that. And you're never going to reach the intensity where you are, and part of the reason why it's largely believed that intensity is the single most important factor is because only if the exercise is intense enough do you recruit the highest level of muscle fibers that are most prone to adaptation and most prone to strengthening, sometimes referred to as the fast twitch fibers. Now, theoretically, you could do that on an exercise bike, and I know people, even in the HIIT community, seem to like these Carol bikes and like to incorporate high-intensity interval training into their routines. And I'm not sure where I stand on that, although I'm somewhat skeptical, I'd have to say, because if you are doing that, you could do it on an exercise bike, you could turn up the resistance high, and then go as high as you can. Yes, you're achieving intensity, but you're also increasing going with high force. So going back to yesterday's video about proper form is you want to reach that failure where you do recruit those higher level muscle fibers, but you're trying to do high intensity but low force. Because of course, not only that, but other people who advocate explosive lifting and things of that nature, they're absolutely going to recruit muscle fibers. The challenge is when you're doing explosive lifting, one rep maxes and things like that, you're recruiting all the fibers simultaneously, which means you are subjecting your joints, ligaments, and tendons to really high forces in order to reach the intensity. So yes, you are recruiting those fibers, but you're doing so, in my opinion, it just seems to be logical physics in this case, that higher force is just less safe than lower force. And it has been shown that as long as you carry the exercise to fatigue to the point where you can do another rep or very, very close to that, that you are recruiting those fibers. So, you know, the idea here going back to the exercise bike is so the surgeon tells them, you know, you need to work your quads. So one of the things is I need to do more exercise, which is volume. So what can I do more exercise to strengthen my quads? Well, an exercise bike, maybe I need to get on that because I'm only seeing Rick once or twice a week. So if I do more, I'm going to get better results. So my message, gentleman's name is to Pat, is to say, no, you don't want to do more exercise. You want to do exercise where, just like the way we're doing now, in high intensity, and then allow your body to recover from that. And yes, perhaps a second weekly workout, which we're going to be starting later on, could be helpful. We have to gauge that because we have to see whether or not we are allowing enough time to recover in between. Of course, if you're not golfing, not as active during the winter, but also as gentlemen curls, sweeping, things like that. So we have to keep an eye on making sure that we don't fall into the trap of more is better and not be able to recover from the workouts or exercise. I believe that up to a certain point, a dose response, most of you have heard Doug McGuff's idea of dose response and a therapeutic window. Below a certain dose, a drug, or in this case exercise as a drug, is ineffective. Above a certain dose, it's toxic. So there's that therapeutic window in between to find that, which again, this just makes perfect logical sense. Another thing, what I'll leave you with that I meant to talk about earlier is, when it comes to the relationship between intensity, volume, and frequency, technically, if you do more of one or two, you have to reduce some of the other ones. You can't do it all. And there's a saying about eating in a restaurant. A restaurant can be fast, cheap, or good. And the saying is, you can pick any two, but you can't have all three. If it's fast and cheap, it probably won't be good. If it's good and fast, it probably won't be cheap. If it's good and cheap, it probably won't be fast. So with exercise, if you're doing a high volume and a lot of frequency, it's very doubtful that you will be able to do high intensity. If you try to do that, the end result will be not recovering from your workouts and eventually injuries. And I did a podcast with Rich Robichaud in the past, and he trained people in CrossFit. And basically CrossFit, I mean, the volume and the frequency is really high. And he said, and despite, you know, he talked to me about how he actually took a lot of precautions, a lot of other CrossFit coaches did not. And he said it wasn't a matter of if they're going to get hurt, it's when they're going to get hurt. So if you got a lot of volume and frequency and you still be able to recover from your workouts, and then you have to have really low intensity, which means your results will probably be not that great. If you have high intensity, high volume, then maybe you can only work out every 10, 14 days. You know what I mean? If you have high intensity and high frequency, then I can see somebody working out, doing one or two sets and working out every day or every other day. But overall, there has to be a relationship. And if you add more to one, just like the restaurant, you can't have all three. The most you can have is two. And of course, the balance between those is something that every individual is going to need to ascertain what works best for them. And that might be different at different points in your training, depending on what else is going on in your life, other stressors, your sleep, all these types of things. Somebody asked on Drew Bay's hit list, they said, you know, if somebody comes to a standstill, which one should I reduce first? Should I reduce volume or should I reduce frequency? And my answer, if that person ever happens to do this, is sometimes it's a matter of practicality, because if I'm training clients and the days that they're available to come in training is every Tuesday or Thursday, you know, unless I'm going to completely eliminate a day, which is really cutting the frequency in half, or going every 2 weeks, then sometimes it's simply not practical to reduce frequency. So I would go volume, not necessarily because it's better, but because for most people trying to figure out their schedule is going to be the most practical thing to do. So anyways, hope this has some value for anybody listening. Really appreciate subscribing, appreciate sharing, and always open the comments and being challenged and some of the things that I say. If you have evidence or experiences that contradict what I say, of course, always in a respectful manner, discussion and debate is healthy, and I look forward to it. Thanks for listening.